Peace and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, good grief. Who in the world let him in? I mean, didn't you lock the door, Thomas? Oh, that's right. Thomas isn't there. He's MIA. Check the door, Peter. What's that, Peter? The door's still locked. Double and triple takes. Eye rubbing, eye bulging, shocker of shockers. There he is, plain as day. Not one of the Jews like Caiaphas that they feared, but Jesus. Jesus got in. But we thought he was, graveyard dead. How did he get in? We had this room in lockdown. Sealed tighter than a drum, lookouts, and the whole lockdown shebang. And yet he still gets in. The fear factor has just gone up big time. You can't get any more fear-filled in their sin than these disciples. No doubt Jesus is there to pull a Clint Eastwood, a Dirty Harry, out for revenge, retaliation, payback. I mean, that's got to be why he's there, right? Huh? Has to. What else in the world could it be for? After all, these fellows genuinely hurt him. They let him down. They abandoned him in his deepest need. Betrayals, denials. They didn't dare be seen with him or associated with him because that was just way too dangerous. And so discipleship took a back seat. They had to look out for themselves, their own self-interest. Take care of numero uno. And boy, did they do that, like any sinner would do, including you. I mean, you're no different than they are. And so, when you've been sinned against, you go after the perps, the offenders, the sinners, with gusto. You know, Liam Neeson-like, or Arnold Schwarzenegger-like, or Mel Gibson-like, taking down those that knowingly or purposely hurt you, who pained you, who harmed you. You know how it is. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, tit for tat, and all that. And so there he is in the locked room with the perpetrators who sinned against him, who hurt him so badly. And so he's ready to let them have it, right? Give them the what for, as it should be, right? Well, you know, that's what you would think. It's what you'd do, wouldn't you? If you were Jesus, sure you would. But then comes the mother of all bombshells. The utterly unthinkable happens. Something many would call completely irresponsible and immoral. What you never planned for. What you never expected. The loud thud that you hear are the disciples' jaws hitting the floor as they hear what comes from our Lord's crucified but freshly risen lips. God risen in the human flesh, Jesus. Are you ready for this, folks? He forgives them. The massively sinned against Jesus unloads a startling An astounding sermon of absolution. He says, "Peace be with you." And what he speaks, he gives. He gives these sinners what he preaches. Peace be with you. Now they are forgiven. He says so. And so they are. After all, his mouth is God's mouth. His words are divine words. The forgiveness he gives to these sinners is God's forgiveness. The peace, that is, the divine forgiveness he gives to these celebrity sinners, comes from his horrifically bloody Good Friday death on the cross. The text says, he showed them his hands and his side. His divine wounds are showing, which means that he died for them too. He did not leave them out. He did not exclude any of their sins from his holy and precious wounded, crucified, and sacrificed on the cross body. And then all of their fear evaporates. The absolution creates joy. They were glad when they saw the Lord. No kidding. No kidding. For he is the Lord who dares to do the improbable and impossible, who takes the sin of the world in his body, gives his divine life into death's damnation, conquers hell, satisfies the Father's wrath, and then rises victoriously to dish out the divine forgiveness to his sinners. And then from his divine lips, another peace be with you. And with this second peace, another sermon, a Holy Spirit-filled message. As the Father has sent me, Jesus declares, that is to say, as the Father has apostled me, so now I send, or I apostle you. With those words, Jesus institutes the office of the holy ministry. He puts them in. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Men put into the ministerial office are sent to do something. What in the world is that? What is it? It is to forgive sinners their sins. Your sins, my sins, the world's sin. Not because we deserve it, but because Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And so he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Whoa. The giving out of what Jesus won or achieved on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, is now to be done. Pastors are to tell sinners that their sins are forgiven. You're a sinner. You sin against God. You sin against your spouse, your children, your employer. You sin against the church members in which you live, etc. Don't deny it. Confess it. Tell the truth. Don't be afraid. It's okay to die to your sin. After all, Jesus' cup of tea is raising the dead. That's precisely why Jesus died for you, the sinner. So I beg you, do not purposely withhold any of your sin outside of Jesus' forgiveness. Seriously. Don't try and take what Jesus bore in his crucified body, namely all of your sin, and try and take it away from him. You try and do that, that's a hellacious way to live. It's called unbelief. And it will all end in your buying yourself a one-way ticket straight to the place prepared for the devil and all of his evil angels. I'm here to tell you that you cannot answer for your sins. You can't do it. Only Jesus did that. You can't forgive yourself. Jesus does that. And so there's no sin of yours that's too big for Jesus. Don't ever say this. Don't ever talk like this. Oh, Jesus could never forgive me for that. Oh, what I did is so unforgivable. Well, maybe in your mind, but not in his. That's nonsense to talk like that. Didn't you hear what Jesus preached from the cross? He said, it's finished. So it's time for us all to use Jesus properly. The way that Jesus speaks in the text. His Good Friday forgiveness is to be given away freely to sinners. Sinners are to be forgiven. And you are to believe his words that he speaks to you. Thomas had to learn this a week later. He needed to learn and to believe that Jesus bore his sins in Christ's crucified body. Put your finger here, Thomas. Do you see my hands? Reach out your hand, Thomas. Put it into my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. Believe that I died for you, that the blood from my divine wounds purifies you from all sin. And then came Thomas's great confession. My Lord and my God. Indeed. Indeed. Brothers and sisters, listen very carefully. Jesus alone does the forgiving. He's the only forgiver. He does it. As he puts his words into the mouths of the pastor, or for any Christian for that matter. But notice today how the pastor is given to say it in the liturgy. You heard it earlier. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Remember that? Do you realize what this means? It's really wonderful. And it's all for you. It's a gift from the Lord Jesus himself. This is why Jesus sends pastors to congregations. Pastors are sent to speak Christ's words. In this case, the John 20 words. the pastor speaks the Jesus words according to his divine mandate in John 20. And so as the pastor announces, declares, or preaches the absolution, Jesus himself is speaking. The kids learn the Latin. And those of you who have taken adult membership class with me, you learn it as well. The Latin is Viva Vox Christi, which means the living voice of Christ. That is heard in the words of absolution. And Jesus does and gives you what he says. You truly are forgiven. So now I'm going to ask you a critical question this morning. What do you believe according to these John 20 words of Jesus? Here's what you believe. It's in the small catechism. Listen, I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us according to his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better. And here's the kicker. This is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Now you can go home or you can look at it now if you'd like in the hymnal. Look in the small catechism and see if I quoted it correctly. I think I did. Now, who among you would refuse to give your amen to Christ's word of forgiveness? Who among you would treat the absolution as if it were a nothing? Is there any of you here today who wants me to exclude from our Lord's Good Friday forgiveness and therefore this Christian congregation? I mean, if you insist on it, I guess I'll do it. Anyone here who purposely and stubbornly wants to hang on to their sin and keep it from Jesus, is there? Anyone here? Bueller? Oh no, good, I'm glad to hear that. So I tell you that I have been sent by the Lord Jesus to forgive your sins, and that's what you want, don't you? Isn't that what you want? You are hungry for the gospel. I'm glad that you are. And I'm going to hand it out. I'm not going to fool around anymore. And I want to hear your amen after I speak it. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ah, good. Now listen for the more of the red-hot core of the gospel in the Lord's Supper today, in the unique way that he gives it. Bread, body, wine, blood, and the divine promise given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Make sure that you give your amen there too. After all, as we heard in the text, by believing you have life in his name, Jesus' name. Well, brothers and sisters, it's a good thing that Jesus did show up. It's a good thing that he did pop in unannounced, coming right into our midst as well. Gathers us around himself with his words. I don't think we have the doors locked, do we? Even if we did, that wouldn't stop him. He sees to it that his forgiveness words are spoken to his sinners. There's no need then anymore to fear him. He's all about Good Friday gospeling you. Thomas's believing confession is now your confession as Jesus forgives you in the absolution, the sermon, and the sacrament. And our confession is, my Lord and my God. He certainly is. And what a Lord and God he is. And what a joy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.